Hello and welcome to the Codec Moments podcast. This is, of course, the third podcast of 2023. And how many began in 2022? Was it 17?
I thought it was 29.
Well, I suppose if you count the shorts that we put out, then yeah, definitely would have been around about 29. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels about right.
So don't forget, you can go back, listen to all those on your podcatcher of choice. Why don't you do that now, just see if you can find them.
We'll buy you a beer if you can find them.
So it's been a while, actually, hasn't it?
Just yeah. A bit. Yes. I was going to say, was it the Aliens podcast we did last year? And then I thought, no, I think that might have been 2021.
Yeah, it was Aliens Day 2021, yeah.
Yeah, so is it Surprises and Disappointments 2022? Was that the last one? Is it a year since we did one? Since we did the Codec Moments one, let's be really clear. We've all appeared on other podcasts, just not our own.
Yeah, to be fair, if we hadn't done that Nolan podcast, we'd have had some time in the rest of the year to have done something else.
I mean, that took about 5 weeks to get through.
The episode that's that long, we've had to split it into two episodes because it won't upload in one chunk.
I'm still listening to it, so hopefully we should be able to record again by 2024.
Well, it'll still be relevant.
So yeah, we're back. It's been a long time, primarily because we all got a little bit older and a little bit more responsibility, and just a bit less time for gaming. I don't even know if that's true of you two. It certainly is for me.
I know it is. There is less time, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, busy 2022.
So other than an incredibly poor showing in terms of recording, why don't we start with what have been our disappointments of 2022?
COVID was still about.
I mean, we could make this just like a general news podcast, but I think we're talking gaming
now. Order, isn't it? Yeah, now I think we could just, if we're going down that route, we could probably put this out next year.
You know what? It's
well.
Disappointing. Not to go down this route, but we've had more prime ministers than we've released podcasts in the last year.
That's an actual feat and a half, is that?
To be honest, though, I think we're almost at the point where if we just had the one, that would probably almost be true.
Yeah. it's been an okay year for gaming, I think. There's not been anything major coming out. I mean, there's been some big games, don't get me wrong, but you know, like some years you're very much spoilt for choice, and everyone's releasing everything. I think whether we're feeling the effects of the pandemic and slowing down and studios shutting down and Microsoft trying to buy everyone and all that, I don't know, but there's been some good titles coming out and there's also been some rubbish, but I think it's been a strange year in the gaming industry. Callisto Protocol is probably my biggest disappointment of the year because it's just a big jank fest.
I was all right with that. I didn't have any issues with it, apart from the final boss fight, which is a pain in the ass. But
I think, other than that, actually,
I quite enjoyed it.
I think for me, it's because I was going between God of War and then Callisto Protocol. Yeah. And I just struggled with the controls.
I had a buffer. I went from God of War, Evil West, and then Callisto Protocol. So it maybe that softened the blow slightly.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, it just wasn't as, like, people will know if you remember from way back when we've spoken about this on the podcast, me and Andy aren't the best with horror.
No.
And I just thought, oh, maybe I've got a bit older.
Maybe I've matured.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not weird. And then everyone's like, no, it's just not scary. And I was like, oh. Damn it.
No, it wasn't. I'm with you on that. It was bloody gory, an attempt to be scared, but it wasn't overly.
And I think they overplayed the Dead Space hype.
Yes.
I don't think that is necessarily the studio's fault, though. I think that's potentially media picking up on it. Because I would think, oh, yes. But then there's not many sci-fi, horror-ish games that we get setting out of space. So the comparisons were inevitable.
There's lots coming. Well, yeah, that's true.
The bits that were what let it down for me, and I don't know how far eventually you got, Ali, whether you got to the end or whether you just sort of caved in at some point and said, I can't be arsed. The like entire last third of the game was an enforced stealth. And yeah. I didn't like that. I really didn't like that.
Are they called creepers or something like that you have to...
Whatever they are. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
You don't get to a point where you are either given an ability to overpower them or you get through it. It kind of sticks you in this one section. You think, oh, this is a particular area. And then
do you think
it just goes and goes and goes and goes. Yeah. And they come in swarms. And it's just...
And for
painfully slow. It artificially slows the pace of the game.
I was wondering if they'd had a meeting where they'd kind of said, oh, do you remember Alien Isolation? That was good. What can we do that's a bit like that?
I think they had a meeting where they went... they started in a meeting and they went, boys, the game's only 6 hours long. How do we make it to 12? I know. Make them go slower. And that's exactly what it does. It pads it out.
Yeah, and that's where I guess the combat comes into it for me, because at a certain point I'm at the game at the minute is doing the stealthy stuff, so I'm getting close to the end. But then if you make one false move and make a noise, there's that many of them that come out. And at the minute I've got quite a lot of ammo, but you physically can just not kill them quick enough. And they're just, they literally just swarm you and you're dead. So you just put the controller down and wait for yourself to die.
Yeah, and that's it, because you can't skip the death cutscenes. You just, and some of them do go on for a very long time, and you just have to watch it. Yeah. It does. Don't get me wrong; it is far from a perfect game. There are a lot of issues with it, and things that should not really been considered. Did you know there's a perfect dodge mechanic?
Yes,
I didn't, because the game never told me, and I accidentally did it twice against the final boss.
And it
would have made some of the encounters so much easier if I'd known about it.
And every encounter starts left, right, left, right, left, right.
Yeah.
So it's not even randomised whether they're going to hit you with both hands and you have to go backwards, or, you know, right and then left, or left and then left again. It's always left, right, left, right, left, right.
So for Andy's benefit, because he's going, you move the stick in a direction when you're in combat to dodge.
Oh, great. Quick time event.
80% of the time it works, and 20% it don't register your movement, and you get battered. And there are two or three bosses. Well, you think he's a main boss, and then he becomes like a standard enemy who can kill you with one hit. There are just elements that totally jar, and you're thinking, understanding and hearing stuff about having to get it out and get it completed and ship it makes you realise they just haven't playtested some of these bits fully. They worked. They're not necessarily buggy or anything. I didn't come across any bugs. They didn't have any issues with performance. But it quite clearly, it doesn't work from a gameplay point of view.
I think I had a couple of crashes. Because there's those weird things as well that are like massive slugs with a face on the end of it.
Yes.
That come out of like an egg, if you like, for an alien terminology. And, well, to be fair, it looks like a bumhole, but anyway. But they just come out of nowhere. They just suddenly like, and there's this face like trying to bite you. Yeah. And there's no way you can see it in some instances or even dodge
it. Worse than that, is the ones that where they hide them in chests and lockers. The only place for you to get kit, so your survival mechanics, whether it's health or whether it's ammo or items, they hide them in there. So you've got your button presses to open the thing, and then you get attacked. And you can't do anything about it. You are attacked on that, and you lose health. So it's just... it's like a bizarre choice. You know, at least give the player an event to stop it from happening or stop the attack. But it doesn't. You just bang, you straight in, and done. If you've got low health, you're dead. And it's an awful way of doing it.
It does look really good, though. The atmospherics are really, stunning. Really good. And the way they've done that, and there's certain bits where you're walking, because you're in like at some points like a prison or something like that, and the lights have all gone off and there's smoke, and you're like in between, like, you know, like the crate, if you like, so you can kind of see through the wall or over some pipes, and that it does look really, really good, which is probably the biggest praise I could give it.
I didn't receive as warm a reception as anticipated. Am I right in thinking it didn't get it didn't get any review copy put out before release?
It did. They were quite selective, I think. I'm pretty sure it was embargoed. I think they were really selective. I'm pretty sure they went down the streamer route for giving them out. I know it was... The PR agency dealing with it, it was almost like they didn't want to give up any information on it. It was really quite hard to find out what was going on. I know our friend Stuart Cullen had some choice words about trying to get hold of a copy and how difficult it was to just get a response. You accept you're not going to get everything. That's fine. You do like to hear somebody say to you, sorry, there are no copies, rather than just total radio silence. Mm. And that was what was happening. It was really strange. And sometimes that's just normal. In this case, I think it was probably a bit of a sign of they maybe were a bit worried. But it did go to the big outlets. It went to the streamers. So, they didn't hold back. And then they did give review copies afterwards.
Yeah. Amazon.
It was a little bit odd. But don't get me wrong, I quite enjoyed it. I played it start to finish. I didn't play anything else in the time. I didn't break away. But then at 10 hours, it was fairly easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah. What about yourself, Andy? Have you played enough games to have a disappointment?
Well, obviously, my biggest disappointment, and it does kind of just very slightly tick over to the beginning of 2023, but 2022 was finally the year that we saw the death of the highly successful Stadia platform.
Oh, it was such a sad day, wasn't it? I mean, we all didn't know what to play.
It was. Again. I mean, it was yesterday. They finally shut the servers down yesterday. And I'll be honest. No, I didn't. I didn't. Of course, I didn't boot it up.
You're not pour one out for your homies.
I did. I did actually download all my save data, which you could do, and in the vain hope that I'd be able to transfer it to PC somehow. But apparently no, because I played a lot of Ubisoft games, and they're just like, no, we've written them entirely different code. So,
did you do the tool to convert your controller into a standard Bluetooth controller?
I did. Yeah. I did that yesterday. And it's actually great. I never had any problems with the controller. The controller is really good. So it is now, a Bluetooth controller. So that's a good bonus. So, and I got a complete refund for it as well.
I know.
So basically I've got a free controller.
Nice.
Did they refund any of the games?
Yeah, all the games.
So if you refunded absolutely everything?
No, they didn't. They didn't refund the subscription for the pro membership when I was a member of that. But I'd cancelled that quite a while ago.
Basically, your full starter pack and any games that you bought.
Complete refund, yeah.
So that's actually, from a cash perspective, probably not a bad deal.
No, exactly. I got to enjoy it, and I did play a few games on it. I played a lot of Odyssey on it. Yep. Played quite a bit of, was it Breakpoint?
Oh, the Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Played quite a bit of that on it. as usual, I played too much Hitman on it because I played Hitman on every platform.
Why not? Were they one of the few games that allowed you to transfer your save over, or did they not do it
into Hitman?
Yeah,
I don't know. I never did it. I every time, other than when Hitman 3 came out, I've started again every time when I've moved to a new platform or a new game.
I think I remember when they said they were shutting Stadia down. I have a feeling IOI came out and said that they will allow you to they were working on something to transfer your save to another platform.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a bit different for yourself.
Off of Stadia. Oh, yes. Yeah, I've not done that.
Yeah. So you could, if you wanted to, transfer it onto PC if you hadn't have already played it on PC. But I know that would be a lie, Andy, because I've seen you on Steam playing it. Yeah.
I'm getting ready for Freelancer.
Yeah, 26.
I'm very excited about Freelancer. Yeah. Did you guys do the? Well, you wouldn't have, Matt, because you haven't got a PC. But did you do the technical test?
No.
Ah, it's fun.
Is it finished now? I guess.
Yeah, it was only on for like 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah. So, but it was. I managed to dip in for like an hour or so, and it is. It's a lot of fun. It's really good.
Yeah. What makes it different?
So because it's all kind of procedurally generated, and they're playing this off as like a gameplay feature, but I don't know whether it's just because it's just happenstance. But you get these challenges that you need to meet. And one of the frustrations is you don't earn money for just doing the contracts, but you do earn money for completing the challenges that are set.
Right.
And some of them can be contradictory. So it's a bit like, don't kill your target with melee weapons and, only use silenced pistols. So you might have contradictory objectives. And I think they're now kind of pushing us, oh, well, you'll have to choose which ones you want to do and, you know, curate your loadout selectively. Yeah. But I don't know whether it's just like, oh, well, we completely randomised these and we didn't put any logic checks in as to whether they they shouldn't be there. So it's a bit more like, because it's procedurally generated, and you go in, everything that you acquire, you get in the game. So you can buy it from like merchants in the game, and you can go in, earn money, buy stuff from merchants in the game, and then take it back to your house, your safe house. But you likewise, any tools you can take in, you can lose them if you die. So it kind of adds that interesting element of when things start to go wrong, you get a bit more creative. And because there's no, because you're not being rewarded any longer for Silent Assassin, it does create a slightly more dynamic playstyle, I think.
I like the idea of that, because the goal to get the Silent Assassin did tend to force you down a particular way of playing and not enjoying getting spotted or anything.
I think there'll be challenges where you have to, you might have to do a Silent Assassin, or you may have to perform certain feats, but it's not the focus anymore.
It sounds a bit like Hitman's version of is it the Dark Zone that was in Division, where you know you went into like the PvP area.
Wasn't that PvP?
Yeah, but you had to like extract with your certain equipment, and if you died in there, you lost certain things, and a bit like the DMZ as well on the new Call of Duty stuff, where if you die, you lose stuff.
Not really.
A little bit. Because it's now the world of assassination as well, isn't it? They finally pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah, they've kind of brought it all into one package finally, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're no longer, if you own Hitman 3, you get everything. And then if nobody's ever played any Hitman game, like, where have you been? But you can only buy the world of assassination now. You can't.
Yes. Yeah, that's what
as
done,
of the 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I've been playing that on Steam. On Steam Deck, which has actually reinvigorated my love of gaming, because I can now do it wherever, and when I'm, you know, when sat with my wife in the evening and she's doing work and we're watching something, you know, blindly on the television in the background, I can play Hitman again.
Why not?
That's good enough.
Go on, Matt, what's been your disappointment?
Disappointment. I think it might be everybody's disappointment. It also might be the biggest surprise that it wasn't a disappointment, if that makes sense. Gotham Knights.
Oh, do you know, I just wanted it to be great, and I wanted there to be lots of hype around it, so I could cave and buy it. And I am the world's worst at caving over anything.
I know.
And this, I was just like, nah, it's got Nightwing in it, and I'm still not.
My review, the reviews, you know, summed it up in three words: bland and soulless. Given everything they could have done with it, even leading up to the week before release, I was thinking, this could be all right. You know, I've played plenty of games that have tried and do something a bit different, and they may not pull it off technically, or it may not be all that great, but actually you still have fun with it. We used to do a series years ago, Cost of a Coffee, where we would buy cheap second-hand games that you would never think twice about, but when they cost you £2.50, you don't care. And we had a lot of fun with those games. There's just no fun at all. And it summed up in riding the Batmobile. Oh, it's not even the Batmobile, it's the Batcycle, or fucking slow shit bike or whatever. Basically, you get on something that has no sense of speed at all, no impact on velocity through a city, yet continually ramps up through the gears and through the rev notes, and it's just this is crap. And it, at no point had anything that redeemed it to make me go, I see what they're trying. I do see what they're trying, but it's so boring. It's just, yeah, I couldn't. It was a disappointment, and I thought it'd be disappointing, and I'm still disappointed. it's absolute mediocre all the way. It's not abysmal. It's not perfect. It's just so bland and terrible. It sits smack in the middle. And And I was really hoping it wouldn't be that and that we'd all be proved wrong, but we weren't. We just weren't. No. And I think the game is completely dead.
Yeah, even I didn't pick it up. You know, I'm like for Batman stuff.
I know.
I know he's not in it.
I half expected to at least get a co-op game in at some point just to see how terrible that was. But I wouldn't. If it goes on one of the subscription services, give it a try.
Oh yeah.
Don't spend any money on it, please.
You know my philosophy, Matt. Generally, if a game has Robin in, I'm all for it. But even this was just that wasn't enough.
No, Batgirl was a good character. I enjoyed playing as her, and the acrobatic moves to the combat were nice. But it wasn't, and I think this is maybe one of the things that do not help it. It's not an Arkham game, so the combat is not Arkham-focused. And arguably, actually, I probably didn't really have an issue with the combat. It was just the lifeless world and the constant fetch quests and having to travel bloody miles to get to anything to then be sent back. It just didn't have character and anything to make you go, yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting home and playing that tonight. It was like, oh, I do have to review it, don't I? Shit.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that easily my biggest disappointment. But then I want to go back to something you said right at the beginning, Ali. It was a bit of a strange year because we did have some big games. I genuinely think we didn't have many disappointments last year. There weren't any terrible games.
It was very...
Or not many, but it just... I think this, for me, absolutely stood out head and shoulders above everything else.
Yeah, I think with some games that were outstanding, it was a very mediocre game, like, year for gaming. There were some, like, really good games, but then everything else was just like, yeah, okay, or delayed.
It's good. It was like, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed that, but I won't go back and play it again. You know, there was a fair amount of that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. But like you say, just one of those. Whereas this year, 2023, is looking like it's going to be a little bit crazy with the amount of things that are potentially coming out.
That start next week, for the week after we are recording this, with the Dead Space remake.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not being funny, Matt. Harry Potter's out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We can get ripped apart by a necromorph. Dead Space will be better than Harry Potter. I'm willing to put money that in 12 months' time, you're sat there going, yeah, the Harry Potter game was my biggest disappointment of 2023.
No.
I think Ali's going to be sat in his living room and it'll be Accio controller and off he goes.
Too right. I've already got it pre-ordered.
I'm not surprised. I haven't got Dead Space pre-ordered yet, which I am quite surprised at myself about given how excited I am for it. I've not done it. I need to do it this weekend.
EA are being a bit cagey about it because they've not released any codes or anything for it yet.
They haven't even responded. They haven't even recognised that we're sending them emails asking them, would you mind putting us on the list if there's anything spare? There's nothing. It is silent.
That's because...
I suspect there's a lot of confidence in this. That's
because they haven't changed that asteroid shooter section.
I'm half wondering if all they've done is actually, they've just... ported the PS3 version to the PS5 and they're hoping nobody notices.
Go on then, Matt. What's been your surprise of the year?
So, flip to the other side of it, and I could reel off tons of games. You said, like you said, there were some good games this year. There were, and I could reel off some absolute stunners that I've enjoyed all year, and I think I stuck most of them in an article because they're the ones I spent the most time on.
Yep.
So things like Horizon Forbidden West is absolutely fantastic. It is an amazing game. God of War Ragnarok, I didn't play anything else until, well, apart from breaking for Callisto Protocol, but then I went back and platinumed it. It's a stunning game. GT7, I love, and I am very, very excited for the full VR2 experience in that. But none of those were surprises. I always knew I would enjoy them. I don't think there's a no-brainer. Sony first-party stuff tends to be really good. Arguably the highest quality games I've had this year. My biggest surprise was Hard Space Shipbreaker. Because I played a shit ton of that, and I thought about playing that whilst I was at work, and it really, it was just so therapeutically lovely taking ships apart. It's brilliant. I really love it.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
I can't say anything else. It's just that it surprised me how much I love that game.
It was one of the things on Xbox for the rewards where you, so there's like two parts of the rewards, but one of them is kind of making you play games. And it was on that. And I started playing it, and I was like, oh, I quite like this. And some of them you can do the cloud function, and then I ended up downloading it. It is, like you say, it's very therapeutic. And it's up there for me as well, and this is going to sound really random, with the jet washing or power wash simulator as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Like,
yeah.
You sat there going, why the F am I playing this? Yeah. I could go out and jet wash for real, but...
I just need to change my nozzle because I'm not quite getting that mark off.
No, it's exactly that, is it? You're looking at it and you're going, oh, I need to cut that bit. I need to cut that. Oh, is that pressurized? I can't tell. Oh, it was pressurized. Oops. It is. It doesn't really get any more complicated than that, but it's just so lovely. And I think it's the floating around and the relaxed atmosphere. I've been playing it all the way through with the time limits. I know you can switch the time limits off, which I was quite tempted to go back and do it just so I could enjoy chopping the ships up. It's just really nice. It's like, you know, it's time wasting recycling, but it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my surprise of the year, how much I enjoyed that. All right, there we go. That's it.
Oh, God. Well, mine is actually Power Wash Simulator. For almost exactly the same reasons that you've described, but with jet washing. My wife, I'm not sure whether she was just laughing at me or pitying me or what, but she's like, what are you playing? Power Wash Simulator. Is that what is that really what it sounds like? Like, yeah. What do you do? I just jet wash stuff. It's like, well... why won't you do our patio?
Because that's hard work.
Yeah, but it's just, it's lovely and relaxing, and you don't even, you can, as you go through, you progress just by playing the game and building up your level, and you unlock new things to wash as you go, and you don't have to finish the other one. You can just save your progress, back out to the menu, and come back to any of the jobs at any point you want with your progress saved. So if you think, oh, I'm really bored of doing this children's playground, I can go and wash a dirty old van. And there was one who was like washing somebody's dirt bike. And that was lovely because it took about 3 minutes. And it was just a really nice break from, you know, I think the one I'd done previously was somebody's massive garden, which had taken about an hour or so. And then a quick scrub of a dirt bike, and you think, I'm reinvigorated now. I'm ready to go and take on that caravan.
And for the people that like to collect trophies and achievements and things, you can get quite a few within not a lot of time as well. they pop up quite easily.
So it was just really serene.
So have you gone for the Lara Croft Mansion DLC?
Well, it's not out yet, is it?
Is it not out yet? It's out
at the end of the month, isn't it? I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet today. Yeah, I absolutely will be.
Crazy.
Yeah, excellent. Definitely.
Well, I'll have to pick my weird one then.
Pick your genuine surprise, but if it's another job as a game...
Yeah, well, so yeah. I thought what I'd do is I'd pick something that isn't your usuals as well, because I didn't know if one of us would pick, like, God of War and things like that, which we can discuss in a minute. But the one game that I've probably played the most, and I'm still trying to play it now to finish it, and because of some new DLC that came out, is 2 Point Campus.
I really enjoyed that as well. I had proper nostalgia when I was building my own student's union.
Oh,
and booking back the whole piece, it was just, yeah, it's a lovely game. Is that really nice? Yeah.
As a man who was on site with a hard hat, what was it, just over 20 years ago when they built the Students' Union nightclub we used to work in, I can feel that.
It's just, again, it's just one of those games that you can just, it's a time sink. You just load it up and you're going, right, what have I got to do? What do I need to do to 3-star it or whatnot? Yeah. And then now you've got the space DLC as well, which is only 3 extra like levels, but it's still good fun. And
but it's the amount of time you can spend in it, that's the thing. And it's so intricate, and it layers that on really nicely. I think they paced it well with 2 Point Hospital. I think this one does it probably a tad slower but it works, and it feels like there's more variety in it.
So the space DLC is, so you get three missions, and it's basically Space Academy. So you get, I think, like four different classes that you do, but then you actually end up going to space. The last mission is you're on a planet somewhere, and kind of part of it is you have to earn enough money to buy enough shuttles to send them back to Earth to bring enough students back in.
Okay.
And you get like random asteroids coming in, where they have to go and like mine them and different things, and just more DLC and whatnot. And it's just like how quirky it is and random and the different things that they say. And like you said, it's just therapeutic, just something that you can just go, I can't believe I've just spent 3 hours playing that, and I'm not too sure what I've achieved, but I enjoyed myself.
How long did you spend in the Hogwarts knockoff?
Probably quite a while, to be fair. Yeah. I think I've got 3 levels left of the main game to 3-star, and then I've just got the DLC to do, but the couple I've got to is a bit tough, where they have to get the clubs to level 5.
Yes.
A bit daunting.
There's some stuff it just takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and knowing exactly what you're doing. But it is a stunning game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what they do next, whether they do like a 2-point theme park or something like that.
It's one of those, what's the theme park one that is already out that's done by the people that do Jurassic World?
Is it Roller Coaster World or
Tycoon? Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Is it Roller Coaster Tycoon? Planet Coaster, that's it.
Yeah.
You've got Planet Coaster and you've got the Zoo one as well, and Planet Zoo, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so you kind of already got competition there. So I wonder if 2-point are going to keep it, that they will look for something that no one else is doing.
True, yeah.
It'd be nice if they did, but then at the same time, they could probably absolutely knock it out of the park with a roller coaster game, with the theme park.
I've got it. I know what they should do. Airport.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be all over that.
Airport CEO.
Start with a dirt track in Colombia.
It's a really good game. If they could do something like that that was able to bring to consoles, I think that'd be quite successful.
That's a good idea.
So other than those games, what other games have we all enjoyed? I mean, obviously, we've already mentioned God of War Ragnarok. I've not quite platinumed it yet, but...
You know. I know one. GT7.
Yeah.
Well, we have all played GT7.
Yeah.
We've all put together many hours into GT7. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is genuinely brilliant. I don't think there's anything less I can say about it.
Yeah. Right, there we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They've done a hell of a lot of content update for us as well, like extra tracks and cars and the 25th anniversary stuff recently over Christmas?
The bonus Vision Ferrari. Did you get that?
I think so.
Because you had to go. Did you have to go and take part in the quiz? You did a quiz about the 25th anniversary or something, and if you got the answer right, you got a million credit Vision Ferrari, which was quite nice. They've done loads. I mean, they had to weather the controversy that was around at launch because of the ability to buy credits. I thought that was a total nonsense because I've never felt the need to spend any money in the game on credits. And I've got most of the stuff that I want in my collection. I'm now out of credits because I bought lots of cars. But that just means I have to go and race, which is the point of the game. But they've done the rebalancing. But I think you're right, Alex, it's the content. We've had tracks, we've had, whether it's new tracks or whether it's just other routes, but we have had extra bits in. Plenty of new cars. There's something every month. You can sell your cars now, though. I haven't got any duplicates to sell, and I don't really want to sell the ones I've got in my collection. So it's a bit of a... I'm yet to see how I will use that, but it's a welcome feature for some I know, and does feel more like it was in GTA previous games, probably back to GTA 6.
I've not been back in for probably since a couple of months after it launched. So what differences am I going to see if I go and log on?
You'll feel roughly the same. The menus aren't any different or anything like that, but
there's a few more options.
It will actually throw red dot galore at you.
Yeah.
So you could go and read what's going on. The nicest thing I think they've done, though, is if like me, by about June time, I got to the end of the campaign section, I'd done all the menus. They have since added more and more menus. I think there might be 5, and there were 39, I think. that you got through initially, so there's about five more. And they've gone down the route of making them more challenging. So it's not the... You were doing races, you were doing everything you meant to be, but they might have been three laps or five laps. There were ever-increasing demands for cars, but it wasn't necessarily race distance. Then the first bonus one they did, I think, was like one of the... it's not endurance, but you're in endurance class cars, and it's like half-hour races, and they are hard as nails. There is a ramp-up in difficulty, so you actually have to go properly work at them, and they feel like full-on racing experiences. There's weather changes whilst you're out there. There's pit stops. There's strategy on the fly. And even just gaining a handful of positions feels like an achievement, and it's really satisfying to do. You know, spending half an hour around the Le Mans circuit, and you've dealt with a massive rainstorm, and you've decided to stay. You've actually decided to go to intermediates instead of full wets, and everyone else has done that, and you pull three or four positions back, and you feel like you've actually contributed not just to the driving, but the full team effort. It's a really weird feeling to describe, because it's pouring through menus as you're trying to drive down a straight. But it's great. It really, really works well. And it's well above anything else I've played in a GT game before. And I think it feels like it's almost hidden, because you've got to have got through everything else. It doesn't allow you to do them until you've got to the last stage. Or at least those challenge ones. You can do various bits on circuits. You can set your own stuff up. But that in itself was like a... If you want... I hate the term, but it's like end-game content.
Mm.
There's more. There's much more to do. But then they've done like car collections and things that you'll get, and you fill out menu items, and you get bonus stuff for doing that. And it's all little tweaks and pieces extra. The core game is still the same.
Yeah, because they've added about, at least a dozen, if not more, new cars. And then three or four new tracks as well. They've added since launch.
It might be only one new track, but is it...
Well, they added Spa.
It's one in America. Watkins Glen.
And Red Bull Ring.
I thought Spa was in there. I think it's an alternate layout. They put the 24-hour one. They've put Watkins Glen in, and they've done a couple of other... It's revisions on circuits. It's layouts rather than new tracks.
Oh, okay.
But it's content. It's every month as well. There is something new. It's well signposted and published. Kaz puts out tweets with silhouettes of things each time, so that you get the community guessing what there's going to be. It's like a phenomenal game, like in the
car roulette.
Two coins.
Yeah. Except you're not going to just get cash. It's a great game. It is a great game.
Yeah.
I can't knock it. I think it plays brilliantly on the pad. The DualSense is excellent, to the point where I actually don't set my wheel up to play it. I find it simpler just to pick up the pad and have a quick blast and then put it back.
I was impressed with how responsive it felt on the DualSense. Yeah.
It's good with the wheel and pedal. Genuinely brilliant with that. But for a quick race where you don't want to have to, where you've got like most... you get like 15 or 20 minutes, so you think, I've got half an hour before I have to do anything. I can get three or four laps in somewhere, so I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do a license test or something, and you haven't got time to set the wheel up, so you just pick up the pad and it works. You can play it perfectly well with that.
It didn't feel like a compromise, did it?
No.
Which you kind of did before.
No. And as a direct comparison, Formula 1, so F1 22 is shocking to play on a pad. It's awful. I don't know how they've made it so bad versus 2021. It's terrible.
Thinking about it now, Matt, I'm surprised neither of us said it for a disappointment.
Oh, disappointment.
It might be because we've not put enough time into it.
No, that's probably the biggest thing.
It didn't
just
feel like enough of a change between 2021 to 2022.
Except from the controls.
The joypad, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was poor. It really poor. Really hard to play with that, no matter what you did with the settings or dialed down the sensitivity.
I was going to say,
terrible.
In previous years, it's never been great with the pad. I remember 21, I really had to tweak my pad settings to get something usable out of it.
But it's worse than that.
Even with the steering wheel and pedals, whilst it was easier than with the pad, it still didn't feel it still didn't feel like you had the level of downforce. And I know they're supposed to be reflecting what happens in real life, but you said, and you know what, if they drive those things like that, then absolute kudos, because it is hard, and we know they're extremely talented. But for translating it for gamers, it felt off-putting, even for massive fans and people who've played. What, Ali, have we played 8 out of the last 12 games at least, if not more? And I felt like, I almost felt alienated from it because of the way it controlled.
It wasn't as if it's like all because of the new regulations or whatever.
No, there's something else happened with harder, it. It wasn't.
Or like the porpoising out of control, and you'd be like, okay, it's probably what is happening in real life. Yeah. There was none of that. It was just a bit.
it was entirely down to that feel and that we lack need to pick of it up traction. Again.
See what patches and stuff have changed on it.
I did for the first like 2 months. Each time they patched, I went and thought, have they fixed it? Because I was reading the patch notes, they're saying, oh, they've done this with the tracks, and you go, no, they've not fixed what is preventing me from actually putting any kind of acceleration down. Go on then, we're off on a complete tangent then, but GT7 is great.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what else like I've played that's been like outstanding that I've not been able to come off. I mean, I've played quite a lot of the new Call of Duty, mainly because I've got a few friends that play Warzone. But the multiplayer was, not the multiplayer, sorry, the single player was actually really good. It's just a shame that it's locked behind a 70 quid game because it's not terribly long. But the realism of it and just how it, like the looks and everything of it is ridiculous, especially if you've got a high-end machine and you can put it on the highest it will go. There's a particular level in Amsterdam. It's been all over the web and that if you Google it, but it does look ridiculously realistic. And it is really nice to play. It's just a shame that it's locked behind a 70 quid wall, and if you're not bothered about the multiplayer stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it's a bit rich for me this time. And I love the Modern Warfare series. I thought the first remake that came out saw me through my son being born and being a bit of a little git that wouldn't sleep. But I don't know. I think I was just looking for a price drop or a sale bargain a couple of months after, and it's not coming.
No. Yeah. I think that's because
they tend not to,
stuff.
Do they? No. They stay high priced.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to play it for the single player. I'm not too fussed about the multiplayer, but again, I wouldn't pay 70 quid for a 5-hour campaign, and that was my worry about it. No doubt the production quality is amazing and I'd really enjoy it. It's just it's a trade-off, especially we alluded to it at the beginning. It's time led.
Yeah,
it's not. I would argue it's probably not necessarily cost driven. It's more about the time. And if I haven't got the time to put into it, I have actively found myself not being interested in any game which insists it's going to need 60 or 70 hours, with the exception of, Horizon.
Well, that's why Modern Warfare was such a successful Call of Duty for me, because the one thing I had was time.
Yes.
I was up all night, every night. So I didn't
Andy,
sleep
it's
for
finished
about
now.
3 months.
It's finished, yeah. Andy.
Still.
It hasn't, that's the thing.
Oh.
PTSD still going.
Oh dear.
No, he's just still awake at night.
Yeah. Whoops.
So anyway, kids are great. They're brilliant. Yeah.
So what we're wrapping up with, because I'm well aware we do have a hard stop to record.
Yep.
And I've also just noticed the cheeky monetization that has crept into Google since we last recorded well.
Oh, at least you get a notification as well if we've got like 10 minutes left.
Has anybody played anything, picked up something new to them this year that perhaps you'd not played previously, that you'd let pass by and has been either a pleasant surprise or confirmed your suspicions?
I've sort of, but not yet. I rebought The Witcher 3.
Okay.
Because I bounced off after about 25 hours, first time through when it originally came out. Because
it took Colm about 4 years to finish it, didn't it?
Probably. Then it'll start it again before buying Skyrim for the 50th time. No, it hit a point where I really didn't enjoy the loading and the pausing, and it just didn't fit with how much time I had to game at that point and everything else. But with the next gen update, it's made it a bit more accessible. It rest mode's more reliable, loading's a lot faster, so you can stick it up. You can play it for half an hour at a time and enjoy it. So I've repicked that up, and I have enjoyed that more, I think, than the first time around. I think I've got more of an appreciation for it now. So that's not new to me. I downloaded the Medium yesterday, actually. No, it's not 2022, it's 2023. And started playing that, because that was something that I didn't pick up originally that I was very interested in. That's all I can think of. I'm sure there will have been something during the year, but I don't remember.
Anything for you, Ali, or do you need more time?
Well, I kind of got two. One of them would be on the similar lines as Matt in terms of Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't bad on the PS5, because I bought it on there when it came out, and it played okay. But there was just a lot of negativity around it, and then other things came along, and I thought, screw it, and I dropped it. What I didn't want to do was get so far into a game and then get stuck, either a corrupt save or get one of these bugs and stuff. So I thought, you know what, I'll leave it. And then picked it up and restarted it with the next gen update that came out earlier this year. We've had quite a lot of them this year, next gen updates and things. It's really good, really enjoying it. I've just bounced off it a bit because there's been other things. And I guess the only other one that I guess is surprising, that I am actually enjoying it with the rave behind it, is Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Okay.
Which is really good. I've got the second one and I couldn't get into it, and it was a bit tough and really slow. Apparently it takes you 10 to 15 hours or something to get to grips with it. So I was just like, and then people convinced me to get the third one, and yeah, it's really good. Like, again, just the guilty thing, I've not put enough time into it, but I see what the hype's about.
I asked this question because when we got the PlayStation wrap up at the end of the year, I was really surprised at what the game I'd put the most amount of time into was. And it's Red Dead Redemption 2, which I think I'd picked up in a sale either at the start of 22 or right at the end of 21.
It was right at the end of 21 because we played a lot of it. We did do a little bit online, but I know we ended up talking a lot because I got back into it at that point. Because even though it will have been nearly 12 months between wrap-up and me last playing it, it still featured in the amount of time I put into it.
Yeah. So I suddenly thought back. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I played that this year. And I think we all got together and played online.
We did, with Kev, didn't we?
Yeah, that's why it popped up in my wrap-up, because it was my longest online game for the year.
Wasn't that when we were playing and Gav tried to join us? And I had PTSD from Grand Theft Auto, so I just shot him and kicked him out of the group.
Poor guy. He just wanted a game. You were so cruel.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that was good. Good shout. I still enjoy that. It's still installed, sat there, waiting to play more.
Yeah.
I think we need to have another session on that, because it did just become, how can we kill other people's horses?
Yeah. How many times can Ali run into a tree?
Yes. Brilliant fun.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, I hope you've all had a good 2022 in gaming, and you're all looking forward to an excellent 2023. Let us know. Why don't you tweet us at Codec Moments? And is Twitter still a thing?
It's not.
Will it still
be? It's not dead yet.
I was going to say, it's not dead yet, and it seems to have survived its initial wobble. We'll see.
Okay. And yeah, I think we need to, I admit we say this every year, but perhaps we need to do this a bit more often this year.
No, well, face it,
for a
change, we only have to do it one more time in 2023 and we've beaten last year.
Well, for a change, let's talk about the new Hitman update after it's come out, and then we've kept our trend of doing Hitman stuff.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good point, yeah. Okay, so coming up in February, Freelancer Podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Thanks very much. You've been listening to... If you've just stumbled across this and you're like, who are these people I've never ever seen, heard of before? Why are they talking to me? like I should know who they are or they've been doing this before. Yeah, we used to do this more regularly and now we don't.
Pretty much.
So, yes, I'm Andy Brown, at Clinical Andy on Twitter.
I'm Matt Holt, at Current Moments on Twitter.
I'm Ali Cornwall, at Corn_Wolf on Twitter.
Okay, any final thoughts in the 2 minutes of group call we've got remaining?
No, let's see what 2023 brings.
Yeah.
See if Ubisoft release a game.
I've got major excitement for 2023 in about 4 weeks' time, but that might be worthy of a podcast. You're both looking really puzzled. It's really only me that's excited for the PSVR 2 then.
Oh, well, it's,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're all coming around your house to play it.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome. We can do that. Not everybody listening.
Okay, so if you want to come around Matt's house and play PSVR 2 as well, then make sure you tweet us. All right, bye.
Bye.